Live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Dollar Car Rental Studios, it's the Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. Thanks for joining us. Open phones at 888-825-5225, 888-825-5225. Chris is starting off this hour in Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show, Chris.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up?
My question is, I'm 25, 3 years out of college. I was extremely lucky to have a grandfather that paid for my college, and I was extremely stupid by majoring in philosophy. I want to go back to school for finance and actually start an actual career, but I don't want to go into debt. I don't have much money to my name, and I'm just wondering what I should do.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
I'm a glorified paper scanner.
Okay. What do you make?
$20,000.
Okay. Working 40 hours?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So you want to study finance. Where did you graduate with your undergrad before?
University of Delaware.
Okay, cool. So have you done any investigation as to how much of your BA? You've been out 2 years, you said, right?
About three.
Three, okay. I'm wondering if some of your philosophy degree, if we can't just make this a double major, and you go back
right.
And like your first 2 years are probably out of the way, and you add a couple of years, 18 months of finance classes to it and get a second major. Have you investigated any of that?
A bit. It seems like not a lot carries over, but a bit. It would save me a couple grand.
A couple of, well, I'm talking about years.
Yeah, I mean, it saves me about maybe a year at most.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I would get into the University of Delaware and sit down with someone in the administration there and tell them what you're trying to do and see if you can't figure out a way that you get a little better overlap than that. That sounds ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the first 2 years of most undergraduate degrees are cut and paste. And
right,
so, you know, the idea that you're the stuff, a lot of the core stuff you took a couple years back getting this other degree wouldn't apply to the second degree from the same exact university sounds kind of weird to me. So I really want to dig into that. Yeah, that changes the equation because it's the money you need. So what's it cost to go to the University of Delaware in a year?
About $20,000.
Not tuition, is it? The tuition's that much?
No, I'm sorry. That's for room and board too. So
$13,000. Okay. Where are you living, in that area now?
Yes.
Okay. And so room and board would be, you'd move back into a dorm?
No, I wouldn't do that. So it'd be about $13,000 for just tuition.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And so let's pretend we need 2 years of $13,000.
Okay.
That's a little over $1,000 a month.
Okay.
Okay, and you need 2 years of that, so you need $26,000, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm thinking you can get this other part worked out. I'm just going to go with that as our scenario. So, what you would need to do is to create a side hustle for the next 6 or 8 or 10 months until you get ready to start back, and then you're going to have to work your butt off while you're there, because you've got to make a living. And have $13,000, $1,000 a month, roughly, extra.
Okay.
So you have to eat, pay lights and water, and pay the rent. You're not going to have money to party, and you're going to school and working all the time, so you ain't got time to party.
And
so, and so you just, you know, you're going to work your tail end off for approximately 2.5 years, and you'll come out with a finance degree at 27 or 28 years old. If that's the direction you want to go, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. But that's going to involve a side hustle of some kind. I don't care if it's delivering pizzas or driving Uber or what, but you're going to be making $1,500 to $2,000 a month on the side and going to school and making enough to live in addition to that, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's how you lay it out. You need to gather up more pieces of information around this decision in order to lay out a reasonable projection that this is going to work out for you. And the pieces are, we've got to go have a physical meeting with someone in the administration at the University of Delaware and lay out exactly to the letter what I have to do. It's an exact number of classes that have an exact cost to them over an exact period of time. Then you lay that down on a timeline and you say, okay, that's my expenses. Now, what is my revenue needs? Well, what's my minimum budget to eat, keep the lights on, have rent with a roommate or whatever I got to do? Or can I move back in with my parents for a short period of time? Whatever you can do to have the minimum existence. And then I need the tuition and the books above that during that exact period of time that it takes to execute this plan. And that will tell you, but roughly, I think we've laid it out here. I mean, we know it's $13,000 a year, and you know, you got to lay out your existence, what that takes, but you know, you don't need much of an existence. You just need to exist, because we're paying a price so that the 37-year-old you really likes the decision that the 25-year-old made. And you know, you want the 40-year-old you to like the 25-year-old you and the decisions that you made. Because right now, the 25-year-old you doesn't like the 18-year-old you and the decisions he made on his education. That's what you said. And so we want to reverse that trend. And the way we do that is we lay out a very detailed game plan, because no one wins at anything by accident. And the more detail you that you lay out here, the better you're going to be at finance, for one thing. But the higher the likelihood is that you graduate successfully with no debt. And that you graduate, and that you eat, and you don't get evicted during that time. So you lay out the exact plan, and then you execute the plan. Let's put a bow on this thing. Jim is in Duluth, Minnesota. We're going to come back to Jim after the commercial break here. In the meantime, I want to remind you that your income is your greatest wealth-building tool. And that is what we found in our millionaire study. It revealed that 96% of millionaires love their careers. And just like that young man I'm talking to there, he's going to change careers. He didn't like his field of study. Our brand new book, The Proximity Principle by Ramsey personality Ken Coleman, the proven strategy that will lead you to the career you love, will show you exactly how to do that to find your dream job. Never been a better time to find the perfect job, because there's more jobs available than people who are unemployed right now. Pre-order The Proximity Principle today, $19.99, and get $20 in free bonus items. It comes out in just a couple of weeks in May. Go on online store at kencoleman.com, daveramsey.com, or call 888-22-PEACE.
Stop blowing your budget on your wireless plan and switch to Pure Talk USA. Pure Talk USA offers simply smarter wireless. Unlimited plans start as low as $20 per month. You never pay data overage fees, and we never turn off your data. No contracts, no hidden fees, no surprises. We're so confident you'll love Pure Talk USA that we invite you to try our service risk-free. Visit puretalkusa.com or call 844-862-3677. Enter promo code Ramsey and receive 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com.
Now Jim is with us from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. It's an honor to speak to you.
You too, sir. How can I help?
So I just wanted to say also I had the pleasure of attending your Smart Money Conference in Lionel Lakes, Minnesota, with Mr. Hogan and Ms. Cruz last fall, and appreciated you adding the frozen tundra to your route that you guys did.
Well, thank you. Thank you. They enjoyed being there. It was a great crowd, they said. How can I help?
So I have a lump sum of money coming in sometime mid-summer. I didn't even know about had an accident at work with They basically sent out a crane that had failed inspection. I used it, and it went down, and I broke my shoulder and had some injuries. And didn't know the rest of this was something they went through, but I'm going to end up with about $70,000.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Are you okay now?
I am.
Have all the medical bills been paid?
They took care of all that, and it was a 8 or 12 week recovery process, right. And I'm good.
So you're back to work, and yes, all sir. The bills are paid. So this is found money. It's extra money.
Yes.
Wow. What's your household income?
Well, normally my standard is about 105. My wife and I, when we were in step two, we ramped up to about 160, and I've dialed down the gazelle a little bit.
Sure.
We're probably about 130 right now.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so what baby step are you on?
4, 5, and 6.
Excellent. Well done. So this is
well,
nice.
Actually,
what a nice
four and, yeah, 4 and 6. We have one kid left, and that's already, taken care of. So
okay.
So we are doing the 15%. My three scenarios I wanted to throw at you. So I have a house that's worth about $375.
Mm-hmm.
We owe about $200 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beating up on that pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I have two rentals. One was original, they both originally had, but now one's paid for. One, we have about $50,000 left. They're both worth about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing, I want to get a 57 Chevy.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of where we're at, is I have this lump sum coming in, and my wife and I discussed it and said, we've always talked about getting this car, but is a smart thing to, we throw 70 at the house, now we're at 130. If we pay off the rental, that's paid for, and we have 20 left, or we get the 57, which, if real nice, the one we're kind of looking at would be, 40, 45, and we'd have another 30 to decide to do something with. But with this phone money, what's the smart thing to do?
Okay.
We have about we're at about, besides the equity and all the stuff I said, just with our 401s and our Roths and stuff, is around $500,000 right now, and we're both 48. So
okay,
we're almost millionaires with if you add all that equity
yeah.
stuff.
And your other two cars are worth what?
$10,000 or $15,000. Nothing. I got a 2012 Silverado. She's got a 2012 yeah. SUV paid for.
Okay. If I were you, I would buy it.
Perfect.
And and I'd probably throw the rest of it at the rental and then finish the rental off in about 12 months. And then you're debt-free except your house.
Months.
And that increases cash flow going everywhere. And then let's just knock the house out probably another 3 years.
Perfect. That's kind of what we were hoping you'd say. But,
yeah.
Otherwise, the car was 7 years down the road and...
No, I'm not. I think you're okay. You're not. I mean, if it was $100,000, we'd have to give pause. I'm a little shocked it's that high, but it can be. It depends on what you're buying. But I've got a 60 Corvette 1960 that's a frame up restoration and a engine and transmission replace and rebuild. So, and I've got more than that in it. But so it just depends. You get into those cars. There's all kinds of levels of.
Right.
Of condition and redo and whether you're after original or whether you're after a hot rod or whatever. But the 57 is a classic. I mean, that's the American Pie car, right? I mean, it's just...
Yes, sir.
It's a beast. And you're not old enough to even know what that car is. So you're just looking at the iconic stuff, huh?
Yeah. Well, I've wanted one since I think my uncle had one when I was in high school, and I used to bounce around in the back seat with no seatbelt on, and I fell in love with it, and I always wanted one. And
you could play football in the back seat of that car. It's a football field back there.
The offensive lineman rode in the trunk.
Yeah, really, for real. Jim, you've done a great job with money. And reminder to our audience, there's three things you do with money. You give it, you invest it, and you enjoy it. And the rule on enjoying it that Jim and I are applying to his situation is we're looking at his income, how he's doing towards his goals, and his net worth, and what his trend line is, like 5 and 10 years out. And this car is a small potato on the plate. If it takes up the whole plate, then it's a little boy misbehaving. But since it's not, it's just making a grown man smile. Fair enough?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Marianne is in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call today.
Sure. What's up?
Okay. My husband and I recently read the Total Money Makeover, and we're trying to figure out how to apply it to our situation. So currently my husband, through his job, we are on year 6 out of 10 of public student loan forgiveness. We have $115,000 left of student loans. At one point, we didn't know whether we would be staying in the PSLF position. So over 3 years, we paid off about $270,000.
What is your situation? Who's the doctor?
My husband.
Okay. All right. So what's your household income?
It's 190.
And you have student loans left of how much?
Of 115.
Okay, so you weren't on the 10-year student loan forgiveness, were you?
We were. Yeah.
Really? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Because most of the docs have the ability to serve in an underserved area and get pretty substantial relief in 3 and 5 years, and so you didn't do that one. Okay. So you said how much? How much is left? How much? Okay. How much is left in student loans?
There's $115,000.
Okay. With a 190 income. All right. And your question's what?
So now that our situation has changed, because at one point we didn't know whether we would stay in the PSL position, now we feel like maybe there's a chance we could complete the other 4 years of PSLF. However, we kind of just want to get debt-free. We want it behind us.
I would. I'd just clean it up. It's not worth sitting around and waiting on somebody to fix it. You guys have the income. I'm with you. I would just fix it.
One thing, though, one of the things that we're considering is we live in a place where the rent is kind of high. We don't have any other debt. We don't own a home. We don't have any car debt. We don't have any credit card debt. But the rent is kind of high, so we were wanting to buy a home.
I wouldn't until I got student loan cleared.
Okay.
But you make enough to clear it in 2 years. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. That's 50 grand.
Right.
Out of 190. You have to live on 140? You're killing me here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you need to rent something cheaper for 2 years in order to be debt-free in order to buy, that might be a move to make. I don't know what you're spending on rent, but let's clean up this debt. Let's get the emergency fund in place, and then let's save and buy a house, and let's live our lives. You make a wonderful income. You're almost there. Finish it up and do it with great focused intensity. Really move the needle here, and you can do this stuff. You can do it. Very well done. Thanks for the call. Kelly is in the Ramsey Baby Steps community. It is a private Facebook community that you're allowed to join, the Ramsey Baby Steps community. Should I make multiple smaller payments throughout the month or one big payment on the debt I'm working on? One big payment. There's no benefit to smaller payments at all. Almost all debt, the interest is calculated only once a month. It is not calculated daily. It's not compounded daily. It's compounded monthly. And so just clear it one time as fast as you can, every single month, as big as you can, on your smallest debt to your largest. A good security system is a sound financial investment. A break-in can set you back thousands of dollars. But home security also helps you fear less. And you can't put a dollar value on that. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe keeps working if the power goes out, if your Wi-Fi goes down, or even if a burglar smashes your keypad. Plus, there's no pricey contracts or hidden fees. Go to SimpliSafe.com/Ramsey to get our 10% discount. That's SimpliSafe.com/Ramsey. Thanks for joining us, America. We're glad you are here. Savannah is in Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Savannah, welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So my fiance and I are both active duty military. We are both going through your baby steps individually and plan on being debt-free at the end of the year. So we're really excited about that. And we're going to cash flow our wedding at the end of the year as well.
Cool.
My question is, I currently live in an RV. It's paid for, but I'm wondering if we planned on when I move down, when we're able to actually co-locate and live together, us either live in that RV for about 6 months to a year, and that way we can save up and build our emergency fund and then money for a down payment, or should we just sell the RV and put that toward our emergency fund to kind of kickstart it?
Well, there's not a wrong answer in terms of, like, one of them's not stupid and okay. one's smart or something like that. It's a matter of personal taste is what it amounts to. It could be looked at as an adventure in your first year of marriage to be living in an RV and something fun that you all love doing. And it's just, you know, you see this as a fun thing. If you see it as, or he sees it as drudgery, then I wouldn't put that strain on a young marriage.
Okay.
It's not my thing, so I wouldn't do it. But I think that's just a matter of taste. That doesn't mean you're tasteless and I have taste. It's just I'm not an RV guy, you know? And that would not be an adventure to me, you know? But if you all say, hey, we want to travel a little bit, we're going to use this thing, we're going to, you know, use our first year of marriage as an adventure, and we're going to live in this, save some money, and move the thing around and so forth. But if you look back on it as cold and dreary and hateful and all that, then no, I wouldn't do that. I would just sell it, use it to jumpstart your emergency fund. And unless there's a real sense of adventure in both of you, that you see this as something like when you talk about it, it makes you smile kind of thing. If it's not that, then I would sell it. It's kind of like I want to go backpacking in Europe for 3 months or something. You know, it's kind of that kind of thing, right? That's people say. I wouldn't do that either, but, you know, but I'm 60, so almost. So I'm not, that doesn't make any sense at all. But so you see what I'm saying, though. If you want to take, like, your first year of marriage and do some adventurous things, and that's the type of thing, it falls in that category, that bucket, yeah, I might. I wouldn't do it just because of the saved money. It's not going to make that much difference. I think it's more important that the two of you have a wonderful first year of marriage and quality time together than it is that you save a couple nickels in that process. The difference in that. So I would sell it, put the money in emergency fund, rent something inexpensive, where you're focusing on each other in your first year of marriage, not on your housing issues. And so that's how I would look at it. If it's going to be a big deal problem, child, stay away from it. Daniel is in San Diego. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
My wife and I were recently approached by a couple whom we met at church. They told us about Amway and the Worldwide Group, which is in the business to train and educate independent business owners to be successful in their Amway business. Now, I know Amway is not a scam, so to speak, but I do have major concerns based on the fact that there's just so much negative press on Amway on the internet. So, I mean, I can totally meet someone for the first time, tell them about Amway, and they'll probably do a Google search on Amway and find a bunch of negative press on it. So although Amway might be a good opportunity, do you feel it's a bad idea based on the fact that there's so many people against it?
No, there's so many people against everything. It is multi-level marketing in general is very polarizing. And so any multi-level marketing group that you got involved in, you would find very, very negative things. And then the people that are involved are almost cult-like in their enthusiasm for it. So there's nobody kind of in the middle that's just kind of like, yeah, nobody does that. Everybody's got a negative opinion or a positive opinion. And that's what you're going to run into. The thing is, what you've got to decide is what you want to do with your life. The mistake sometimes people make getting into multi-level is that they're sold the dream, so to speak, and they get into multi-level just for the money. And And you don't want to do that. You always want to pick your career based on, is it a fit for you? And then go live your life appropriately. Now, I have friends that have been in, probably have five friends or more that make $1 million a year or more, or have made that in the past in multi-level. But they are very promotional individuals. They're very driven. They are they have evolved into excellent recruiters and managers of large numbers of people that turn over frequently. The nature of the multi-level is to make money, to make real money, like six figures and beyond. You have to be a master recruiter, motivator, trainer of salespeople. You are constantly adding because they turn over like underwear. I mean, it's got a huge turnover ratio. And so you've got to be really, really good at recruiting and training salespeople in mass, ongoing. And if you can do that, you can make good money in multi-level. And if you get in one that the product line is actually solid, then there's no shame in it. But but all of us have been approached by someone who would not take no for an answer, and they damaged their relationship with you. So you've got to have a little class about it if you're going to be in it. Because, for instance, I'm not in multi-level, and I'm highly successful, and I'm not getting in multi-level. And so, you know, for you to treat me like I'm some kind of an idiot because I won't join your thing is going to damage our relationship. Agreed? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And so that, you know, you got to think about how you're going to approach it. And then the second thing is, are you looking to be a sales manager? Is that what you want to do with your life? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's motivating to you and you think that's going to be fun and you're a real people person and you get energy from people, then you're going to enjoy that.
Right.
But if you, you know, if you're an accountant and a high detail person and a highly introverted, you're going to really struggle with this.
Got it.
So that's what you're looking for. And I am not an endorser of multi-level. And I sure don't think they're for everyone. They're for a select few people who choose to go that route and will do very, very well that way. Most of them are pretty crummy part-time jobs, and they're often pitched as a part-time job. But in general, of the concept, I'm not a fan, but there are parts of it that are legitimate, and I will admit that and say that, you know, again, I have friends that are legitimate in those businesses and have done very, very well. So hope that helps you. Open phones at 888-825-5225. By the way, Amway folks pretty much invented that. So the legal version of, you know, they're always, the detractors always, the trolls always call it a pyramid scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme. By definition, it's network marketing. And but to equate that to my business or to a traditional business model is absurd. And that's, you know, you people that have drunk the Kool-Aid and you get all pissed off if anybody questions the veracity of your little endeavor. And so just calm down and be a normal human and treat other people with respect and you'll be all right. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. Question of the day, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Billy Graham said, God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing. Wow. If you've not seen the Billy Graham documentary on Netflix, highly suggest you watch it. Absolutely amazing. This is an interesting statistic if you hadn't thought about it. And from a speaker's perspective, someone who speaks to large crowds and have for decades, Billy Graham spoke to more human beings live in person than anyone in the history of man. Wow. Think about that. Stadium after stadium after stadium, country after country after country, decade after decade after decade. No one has done that in the history of the human race. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. And we communicate over the airwaves. I'm speaking to more people right now than your mind can grasp. You know, there's about 16 million of you under the sound of this microphone at this moment between podcasts and regular radio stations. And, you know, that's mind-blowing. But in person, you know, across a stage, across a microphone with a set of speakers, more people than anyone else in the human race. It's Billy Graham's an amazing, amazing icon. And was an amazing man, obviously. So it's worth watching that documentary. That just it's kind of obvious when they said that. When you think about it, you can kind of think through it and go, well, yeah, that's true. But I never thought about it before. And it's just and what was his message? We are all sinners. We all need a savior. And Jesus is that man, and he did that over and over and over and over for decades as an evangelist. It's amazing. Hey, by the way, this month our team is celebrating National Financial Literacy Month by honoring teachers with our Teacher Appreciation Giveaway. The response to this giveaway has been so overwhelming that we are adding a second grand prize vacation. You heard me, a second one. That means two teachers are each going on a $5,000 vacation getaway. Now, teachers, you do not want to miss this. Go to DaveRamsey.com/teacher to enter. If you're a classroom teacher, enter at DaveRamsey.com/teacher for your chance to win some incredible prizes. The giveaway, which is sponsored by friends at Jackson Charitable Foundation, ends shortly here on April the 30th. So enter to win today. Teachers, we love you. Nobody tells you often enough how great you are. You do wonderful, wonderful, life-changing things every day. Dylan is in Bowling Green. Hi, Dylan. Welcome to the Dave Ramsey Show.
Hello, Dave. How are you today?
Better than I deserve, sir. What's up?
Yes, sir. I was wanting to know, the quickest steps of how to get out of debt.
Okay. Well, what we suggest folks do, how much debt have you got?
Roughly around $13,000.
Okay. And what is your income?
$23,000 a year.
Okay. How old are you?
19.
Oh, wow. What do you do?
I work at a car wash.
Okay. What are your career plans?
I was taking college, but after my first semester, I actually wanted to go into real estate.
Okay, so you're getting your real estate license?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Very cool. All right. Well, I mean, there's kind of two numbers, Dylan, that we look at, and we call it the shovel-to-hole ratio. And the shovel is your income versus the hole is your outgo. You know, what you're spending to eat, and then how much debt you have. Okay, so you have $13,000 hole that you're in. What do you owe that money on?
$10,000 of it is for auto loans, and $1,600 of it is for a credit line. loan, and then the other $1,500 to $2,000 for another auto loan.
Okay. All right. So why do you have two car loans?
I had a car loan that was in 25.9% interest, and they was charging me too much, so I let it go back, and then I ended up getting in another car loan here recently.
Hmm. Okay. Why? Did you not have a car at all?
Yes, I didn't have a car at all. And they was trying to charge me. They was charging me like three times as much as what the car was worth, and I couldn't afford it.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you said you're making how much money?
Roughly, I make around $450 a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's $23,000 a year.
Okay. All right. And And you think you're? And you said you're 19.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, what I would suggest you do is let's just increase your income by increasing your hours, doing something, and get these debts cleaned up as fast as possible. As you already know, real estate is straight commission, and at your age, it's going to be a little tougher because
yes,
it's going to be tough to talking some 45-year-old into buying a house from a 19-year-old. It can be done. I did it. I had a real estate license when I turned 18, and I sold my first house when I was 18 years old. So you can do that. It can happen, but it's harder to have credibility with folks on a purchase of that size when you're younger. Again, I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying that is a challenge you're going to have to overcome. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so it's going to be your level of maturity, how you dress, how you carry yourself, the words you use, the habits you avoid. You know, you don't smoke in front of clients. You don't go in there, you know, dressed crazy. You know, you dress conservatively. The type of car you drive, all of that you're going to have to be mature beyond your years to have credibility. And I did do that when I was your age selling real estate. So it can be done. And so you're choosing that instead of college. What were you studying in college?
I was going to do sociology.
Mm-hmm.
Being like a service, not like a, I forgot how to, social worker and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was drawing you to that?
I really like kids, and I've been through a lot myself as a child, and I know what it's like for young ones to like go through that, those kind of things.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I just want to change the world, you know, and just do better things for the world.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, I think that might be a good ministry for you at your local church to work with kids, maybe in foster programs and stuff like that. There'd be a lot of ways you could be a big brother, in a sense, to those guys as a ministry. As far as your career goes, I like what you're doing. I want to help you out with that. I'm going to send you through our class on how to handle money, Financial Peace University. Have you heard us talk about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you like to go through for free?
Yes, sir.
All right. You hold on. We'll get you signed up for that. And that can give you a framework for making some of these decisions. So very, very well done. Good job. That puts this hour of the Dave Ramsey Show in the books. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there is ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
This is James Childs, producer of The Dave Ramsey Show. Did you know you can now listen to The Dave Ramsey Show on Pandora and Spotify? For all the ways to watch and listen, check out our show page at daveramsey.com/show.
Hey guys, if you're looking for real world leadership and business advice from the top minds in business, check out our Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Would love to have you join us weekly as we dive into conversations with the top minds in leadership and take your business questions to help you grow yourself, your team, and your profits.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Entree Leadership where you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Dave Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you've heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.